Frank, thanks so much for the time. Can you take us through the decision-making process to approve this and give the AOK and the green light for high-risk high school sports to return?
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for having me to help get the word out. So the governor this week granted the authority for local health departments to authorize high-risk sports to begin on February 1st. And so obviously we first looked at, you know, the directive that we were given. I talked with my colleagues in the region trying to have as close to a consensus on how to approach this, as obviously county lines only go so far, particularly with sports competition. And then ultimately we had conversations internally about how to manage the risk that's associated with opening these high-risk sports. And that led us to granting the authorization, expecting that organizations will follow the state guidance to help us keep the athletes safe.
So how in contact have you been with the local sports administration, local sports conferences, who have been, you know, trying to prepare for this moment that they do get approval?
Sure. So as you can imagine, once the governor made the announcement, I heard from a lot of folks, parents, athletic directors, coaches, all interested in how this would move forward. We've been working very closely with the area superintendents, wanting to make sure we were all on the same page. We reviewed guidance that the IAC and STAC had already been working on, that they're planning to follow. And so really it was all of that input that helped us, you know, get to the decision and feel like there was an opportunity to have high-risk sports start up, but start up safely.
We're chatting with Frank Krupa here on BTL, the public health director here in Tompkins County. You mentioned the IAC and the STAC and some of the guidance and information that you got from them. Can you dive a little bit deeper into what you saw from them and some of those protocols that are going to end up possibly being in place so that the student athletes and coaches can get through a season safely?
Yeah, I think it's really all about the things we've been talking about: mask wearing, social distancing, reducing density. I will say that our authorization requires that the state guidance that's already been established be followed. I think folks are going to see that the conferences and other groups and organizations are going to have some additional requirements. I did see limitations on fans. Particularly for indoor events. So I would just encourage folks to, you know, work with their local school district or their sporting organization to understand, you know, what their requirements are going to be. We did require that everyone have a plan and that plan be made available to us, and particularly on their websites if they have one. So we're hoping that'll give people the information they need to know how to interact with any sports organization that they might be involved in.
And what data did you look at to come up with these guidelines for these sports?
Sure. So the guidelines are pretty well laid out by the state, and they've been there for a while for the low and moderate risk sports. And we're really just extrapolating those out to the higher risk sports as well. The data points that we're looking at from a decision-making process that the state had outlined for us was positivity rate, spread of any of the new variants of the virus, as well as our ability to enforce. And, you know, we've been really fortunate here in Tompkins County and our region that we've done really well with disease incidents. So it really put us in a position where we felt we could consider this and ultimately make the decision to move forward.
Fingers crossed you don't have to make a decision like this, but what would ultimately pause high-risk high school sports? What would that positivity rate have to be here in Tompkins County for you to kind of take a step back and say, you know what, maybe this isn't working out right now?
Yeah, I don't know that we have an exact rate number. I think we do hear about that, and we know the state uses a positivity rate for, you know, their decision-making on their cluster initiatives. But for us locally, it's really more about how things are going. The positivity rate in the community doesn't necessarily, if it isn't reflective of what's happening in the sporting world, then why would we make changes in the sporting world? And vice versa, the rate might not be going up, but we might see outbreaks or clusters within sporting groups, and then we'd have to reconsider. So we're going to try to take this on a case-by-case basis, and hopefully we won't get to this point, but we're certainly prepared to work with sporting organizations to understand what happens with the disease as we start these high-risk sports and make whatever the appropriate decisions are moving forward.
Will there be additional testing allotted to these competitions, or will it just be based on what the schools are doing?
Yeah, it will really be up to the sporting organizations. We did not require testing as a prerequisite for the implementation of high-risk sports, so it really will be up to the organization to decide if that's going to be part of what they implement in their plan for reopening.
Tompkins County Public Health Director Frank Krupa joining us here on BTL as it's been officially given the okay for high-risk sports to resume here in Tompkins County. You know, your press release that came out earlier today, it says youth sports and recreational sports. I'm kind of curious how this potentially could influence the colleges here in our backyard, in Ithaca College and Cornell University, in what sort of role that you guys would play in a hopeful return to sports for those institutions as well.
Yeah, there is collegiate and professional sports guidance that's independent of this as well, but we've been working very closely with our higher ed institutions, and we know they're working with their leagues and conferences to understand, and of course the NCAA as well, and the state will play a big role in kind of how that all unfolds. So we're all working together. We all want to get back to normal as quick as we can. We're just trying to do it as safely as possible. And I do think it's important. You know, we've called these high-risk activities for a reason, right? There's close contact. It may be hard to be successful wearing a mask. You're breathing harder, potentially spreading the virus further if you have it. So there is risk involved in this, and I think we all have to remember that. But our goal here is to try to put some controls in place to make it as safe as we can.
And one thing that caught our eye in the press release was that it said tournaments are not permitted. Could you go into further detail about that? Are there certain types of tournaments, like just one-day tournaments, or would there be like postseason tournaments that can take place over a longer period of time?
Yeah, at this point, we're saying no tournaments. That was discretion that was given to us locally. It's really because we want to see how this goes. And tournaments tend to bring larger number of people together, potentially from different parts of the region or state, all into one setting. And so if you have a problem in that type of setting, it's going to be bigger than if you just have two teams, you know, competing against each other. So we're trying to start this reasonably, see how it goes, and then, of course, we'll take direction from the state about, you know, school-based tournaments. And we'll work here locally to understand how this goes and if we need to adjust in the future, because things go really, really well, which is what we're hoping for. We're certainly open to doing that.
It's a step in the right direction, and a lot of people are really excited by this news, that's for sure. Hey, Frank, thanks so much for the time. Really do appreciate it. And be well out there and be safe, okay?
Great. Thanks so much.